thank you, thank you. All right, well, let's get in our Bibles, get back to preaching time today. We're going back to where we were last week, really the next passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, as we move along. And I want to preach to you an interesting message. Paul kind of changes gears a little bit here, even though it's all connected, but preach to you today on why do I have to go to work? Y'all need a message on that? Y'all need a sermon on that? Why do I have to go to work? Some of the answers are pretty obvious, amen. The Bible deals with all kind of things. So last week, Paul, in the opening part, dealt with holiness. And we talked about modesty and morality last week. But then he moves right on into sort of a different category. And he's leading up to that classic passage about the rapture. So he's telling us everything we need to be doing in the meantime, right? Living right, living holy. He talked about that. In this text, he talks about brotherly love. He talks about work and occupations as well. So we need to stay busy till Jesus comes, right? And so he talks about all those things. If you're able, let's stand. We're going to read verses 9 through 12 of 1 Thessalonians 4 today. 9 through 12 is our verses today. Here the Word of God says, but it's touching brotherly love. You need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that you study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that it's so practical. Thank you, Lord, that it instructs us in all areas of life. And Lord, just pray you, God, direct us. Give us your power and direction as we preach this morning. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. One commentator, Warren Wiersbe, says that Paul actually makes a transition here from lust to love. Because he says there in verse 9, it's touching brotherly love. So after dealing with morality or immorality and dealing with the lustful part of our culture, he then moves into love and he moves into work and occupations. And you say, how's all that connected? Because he's dealing with all the things that we need to be doing while he's leading up to the last part of the chapter that we'll get into later about the rapture of the church. So we need to stay busy, and there's a reason why he was dealing with all of that going on. Now, the problem that seemed to be brewing among the people was there was such an excitement about the return of Christ. Now, you notice as we read through this, Paul keeps saying things, and then he'll make a comment about as we have commanded or as we have taught. In other words, whenever he was there, Paul had already covered a lot of this stuff. I mean, he'd only been there for 3 weeks and established the church. I wonder how long those sermons were. He covered a lot of stuff, amen? And long sermons, amen, right there, amen? And boy, he covered a lot of stuff. And so he keeps saying, hey, you know when I was there, we talked about this. You know when I was there, I commanded this by the Lord. I taught you this. I dealt with this. So he covered a lot of stuff. So he keeps reminding them about that. And then they've got questions about the end time, so he'll deal with that. He brings that up. And then when he gets into a second letter, he deals with that even more so. But the excitement about the second coming got to the point to where the general thought for most scholars from this and other things that Paul has said in other epistles was the people got so excited, hey, the Lord's about to return. They quit their jobs, they quit work so they could get out and witness and tell everybody about how Jesus is coming back. And boy, that's a good thing. That's an exciting thing, right? That we just need to we'll all go be full-time evangelists and just make sure everybody knows that Jesus is coming. But you know, it doesn't take long before they show back up at the church and say, hey, you think you can loan me $10 this week? You know, I quit my job to evangelize. You know that, right? Isn't that a good thing? Well, after a little while of that, people are like, you need to get back to work, man. That's, you know, Jesus didn't say when he was coming back, you need to get back to work. So Paul deals with that. So the idleness, what was happening there, And so he dealt with that. Now, notice in verse 11, he says, study to be quiet, work with your own hands. I tell you what, let's back up and look at this again. Verse 9, it's touching brotherly love. So he touched on that. He said, I don't need to really write to you about that. God's already taught y'all to love each other. Amen. Y'all are a loving church. Isn't it good that God puts that in your heart? Amen. He said, I don't really need to even He said, I'll touch on it. I'll mention it. But God's already taught you folks how to love each other. Amen. In verse 10, he talked about how they loved all their brethren everywhere. And then he closed verse 10 by saying, increase more and more. So you already love each other. That's good. But I want you to keep doing it. I want you to grow in love. Amen. Right? We can't get too much of God's love. Amen. We can't spread too much of God's love. I'm just going to teach this morning, all right? You can't spread God's love too much. You know, there's a couple of things in the Bible about love. There's a couple of Greek words. One of the Greek word for love, we find it in 1 Corinthians 13, that love chapter, is the word agape, and it's an unconditional love. It is the love that God shows to all mankind. It is the greatest love, the purest love, the deepest love, the unconditional love, the kind of love that Jesus would die for us, right? But then there's another word, it's called phileo, and it's also Philadelphia. Aren't they the city of brotherly love or supposed to be? That's the name, right? That's the idea. And that is more of a brotherly love like you have in church. And he said, I don't really need to bring that up. You guys love each other. That's good. But here's the thing. Y'all are got some of these folks not working, and it's starting to get a little tense around there, I'm hearing. Don't you think that would kind of create some tenseness, right, tension? Hey, I love you, brother, but you borrowed $5 last week. You know, I mean, come on, man. We can't keep doing this, right? And that's sort of what was happening. The brotherly love was good. It was strong. It was there. Well, in verse 11, then he says, he gives them a couple things. And I study to be quiet. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. Do your own business. Work with your own hands, right? So that's all good stuff. In other places, he talked about the people not working and they became busybodies. I can give you some verses on that, perhaps, in a little bit. A busybody is somebody that they got too much time on their hands, so they're meddling in your business. So that started to be a problem, right? So why would he tell them, hey, study to be quiet and mind your own business? Or what'd he say? And do your own business. That's my translation there. Mind your own business, right? Tend to your own stuff. Quit meddling in other people's stuff because you've got too much time on your hands now, right? You know, busybodies, you know, I feel bad for all good people named Karen. You know, they've kind of used that word, that name, you know, good people named Karen. You know, we've got a Karen in our church, not here today, but she's quiet and minds her own business. Amen. So I feel bad for good people that kind of got stuck with that kind of thing there. But that's what he's talking about there. So he's very practical in what he says. Let me give you a few thoughts here kind of by way of introduction before I really get into this. Let me just say this. God has ordained work as our normal routine of living. Why do I have to go to work? Well, God ordained it. God ordained work. God put it in the first book of the Bible with the first man in the world, and God gave Adam work to do. He set a precedence. He gave him some responsibilities, right? So why do I have to go to work? Why do I have to work by the sweat of my brow? Because Adam disobeyed some things and work got a little harder after he disobeyed things, right? There's a whole story there. God's purpose in work is, let me give you a couple of these. You say, why do I have to go to work? Because you need to be self-supporting. In Genesis 3, he talked about, in the sweat of thy face, thou shalt eat bread. You got to support yourself, so you got to go work, right? Another one is to find self-fulfillment. In Ecclesiastes, the Bible says, listen to this, there's nothing better for a man than he should eat and drink. Okay? Nothing better than to be able to have some food and some drink at the house. Amen? That he should make his own soul enjoy good in his labor. This I saw that it was from the hands of God. That's pretty good right there. You're able to support yourself. Find some self-fulfillment in that. Have some self-respect. Also, another reason for working is to serve others. In Ephesians, Paul said, let him that stole steal no more. So that's not how you make a living. Amen. You don't go stealing stuff. He said, rather let him labor, working with his own hands, that which is good. So Paul said it again to the Ephesians right there, right? And he said that he may have to give to him that needeth. That's a good reason to go to work. If somebody does need something, you can help, right? Also to glorify God, whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. How about how you view work? We ought to view work as our moral duty. Paul said to Titus to maintain good works for necessary uses that you be not unfruitful. That's good. It's a moral duty that we go to work. How about this one? Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Proverbs says a lot about that one, doesn't it? How about this? It ought to be seen as God's calling. God put Adam in the Garden of Eden and told him to dress it and keep it. He gave him work to do. It ought to be a stewardship from God. We ought to see it that way. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. And then the criticism of those who will not work. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul said, if he would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. All right, now that's the context that we're in right now, okay? So he said that in the second book. When he wrote them again, the problem was still there. He said, I hear you got some that they're not working. And he said, well, if they don't work, they ought not eat. They were becoming a burden to the church. Y'all still with me? They were becoming a burden to the church because they wouldn't work. He said, well, they ought not eat then. That's not your responsibility as a church to feed those that won't work. He said, so we hear that there are some that walk among you disorderly, not working at all, but are busy bodies. That's where that idea of the Karen thing comes in at. They got too much time on their hand. They're meddling in everything because they need to go get a job. Y'all here today? Amen. Y'all agree with that? I'm preaching to the choir on this subject. Amen, right? Y'all ought to be saying amen. This sermon not even going to step on your toes, right? It's stepping on somebody else's toes who won't work, right? So you ought to be shouting amen on this one. But God ordained work, and ought to be honest, hard work. It's the idea that I often say, we ought not get so caught up in the end time that we forget to live for Jesus in the meantime. Well, that's exactly what was happening. They said, well, the Lord's coming back. And the time of all of this, God is not slack concerning His promise, by the way. Amen? We still believe it just like they did. But we're not going to quit our job and say, oh, He'll probably be here next week, so I don't need to go back to work. That's not what the Bible teaches. We can't do that. You cannot do that. That's not the biblical way of doing this thing. So let's talk about it. I'm going to give you three ideas today about this, you know, talking about why do I have to go to work. Well, let's look at this. Number one, let's talk about this, the proper regard for work. The proper regard or respect for work. Don't y'all regard work highly? Don't you respect work? Hadn't work been good to you? You say, well, I don't know about that. No, it's been good to you. You paid your bills. Amen? It's wearing me down, but it's paying the bills. Amen? The proper regard for work. Well, he opens this up talking about love. You know, love is one of the greatest motives for anything we do. Love is a great motive. So the proper regard for work is that, well, it's very practical. The guy who won't work and won't carry his own load and doesn't care for his family, he doesn't have the proper regard for work, and that is that he loves the people around him and he wants to be a blessing and a help, especially to his family, right? Well, the church loved everybody. They ought to be helping everybody. No, the Bible teaches if a man can, now I'm not talking about disabled people and all that. I'm talking about people who can go work, right? He's saying they should. Now, and if they love their family, you know, if a guy doesn't want work and provide, it might be a problem. He loves himself and he just wants to get by enough to get by for himself, and he's not taking care of the rest of the crowd. That is his responsibility, right? That would be his responsibility. So we want to help and love and care and be respectful and regard it highly. Those in our home, those in our workplace, those in our society, we want to have proper regard, proper respect. To others, we want to carry our load, carry our weight. Makes you feel better when you feel like you've done your part. Amen? Right? And the guy that won't do his part, you know, that's the one that aggravates you at work. Right? He's at work. He's not working. And that creates a problem. Right? Well, also within the context of the church, love, he brought love up. Again, idleness stirs up issues. That's when people have time to murmur, they got time to criticize, they got time to gossip, they got time to find fault, they got time to correct everybody else because they just got too much time on their hands again. So that's when division would come into the church. So Paul said, hey, I don't need to write to you about love. You guys love each other. Y'all have the love of God. He said, it's taught of God. God puts it in our heart. It is a divine thing for you as a Christian to love the Savior and to love the saints and to love souls out there. God puts that in our heart. Amen? Why do you care about your lost loved ones getting saved? God put that, His love, in your heart. Why do you care about your family being able to do well and go to the doctor and be able to, give them food and shelter and clothing, all of this kind of stuff? Because you love them, you want to do the right thing, you have the proper regard for all of this. So people who are busy, if they're helping and they're serving and they're involved in ministry, they tend to be more positive, they tend to be more productive, they tend to be more encouraging. Y'all still with me? Amen, right? Those people are more, those who work understand each other. And you don't understand the guy, that won't work. I went in a place the other day, and there was a long line, and sure enough, on the door, short-staffed. And you hear this story all the time now. Can't get workers, I don't understand this. Well, we went in this place, my wife and I went in this place, and I got in the line, and we stayed in the line, and they had one register. I said, well, they only got one register open. They got that other one over there. And she was like, well, you read the sign on the door, right? They don't have any, Well, there was a bunch of teenagers in there. I said, well, they ought to go over there and offer these guys, hey, I'll give you a little money to come run this register and help us out back here. Amen, right? Is that okay to do? I would think most teenagers would be like, yeah, fine, I'm good with that. You're going to pay me a little bit? I'll work. It's hard to understand somebody who says no to the opportunities of work. So the Bible, you say, preacher, why are you preaching this to us? We don't need this. It's in the Bible, and this is where I'm at today. Amen? It's right there. And we'll get to this is the good stuff. Amen? We'll get to the good stuff later, but no, this is good stuff. But people who work are productive, and they're encouraging. We work because we love. It's a divine origin. That's opposite of selfishness. We love God, we love our family, we want to do all the things, and we love ourselves. Now look, when I say that, I mean in the proper way. You ought to be proud of your work in the proper way. You ought to love yourself and want to take. Let me just say, the bum doesn't have a whole lot of self-respect, right? Is that true? It shouldn't have. You say, well, I know some, and they're real proud, but no, I'm just saying, the guy that just for whatever reason, I'm not talking about somebody who's disabled, I'm talking about somebody who won't do it. There's not going to be a lot of self-respect there. Now, if you've worked hard all your life, and you got what you got because you've worked, and you've trusted God, and you've given your tithe, you're proud of that, and you ought to be. That's a good thing, amen, right? And the Bible teaches us this. So you say, well, I didn't get rich. God didn't say you'd get rich. But God said, you do your part, I'll do my part, and I'll supply your needs. And I'll take care of you, and I'll help you. Amen? But be industrious. He said, go to the ant, thou sluggard. So God calls those people out. He said, you would be wise if you watch them and learn from them on how to do some things. And how to, put up for a rainy day, as we say, and all that kind of stuff. And there would be more self-respect and self-esteem there. We love, therefore we support, and we give, we tithe. We want to support our church. We want to support the ministry. By the way, on that point, we want to carry our load there too. Amen, right? Tithing and supporting the church ministry and, say this place is comfortable and the lights are good and it looks good in here. That costs money. Y'all know that this year. Amen. That cost. So we give to God. We give to the cause of Christ. We want to carry our weight and do our part. Many hands make the load lighter. Amen. Right? So he said, I want you to increase more and more. Now, he had said that earlier in the chapter in regards to holiness. I want you to do this more and more. And now in regards to loving each other and having the proper regard for these things, he says again, I want you to increase more and more in your love. So we ought to have the proper regard for work. Why do I have to go to work? I don't like going to work. I don't want to go to work. I just think I'll not do that anymore. That's not the proper regard for work. That's not the proper respect for work, right? And it doesn't take long for most people to realize this ain't a good idea and ain't going well. I mean, when I was working and there was, you know, an income coming in, I liked life better back then. Amen? I think, you know, yeah, I didn't like my job, you know, whatever. You know, but work, you've got to have the proper regard for work. Why do I have to go to work? God wants us to. That's what God gave us to do. God said, stay occupied, right? All right, let me talk about this. Number two, let's talk about the proper rules for work. Proper rules for work. And that's basically what he said there in verse 11. That you study to be quiet. Study to be quiet. It basically has the idea of be calm, confident, consistent. Just stay with it. Just quietly do your thing. God's giving you some stuff to do. You know, look, now the guy said, well, I want everybody to know that I work. I want everybody to know that I work hard. I'm going to tell everybody I work hard. I want them all to know I work hard. You know what? You people have figured out eventually that around you things get done. And you ain't even got to tell them. They'll figure it out, right? When you're around, things happen. When you're around, things get done, right? Amen, right? You believe that? I'm a little suspect of the guy who has to tell you about it all the time. Y'all get what I'm saying. People are going to figure it out. You know, either way, they're going to figure that out, right? You get things done. You study to be quiet. Just do your thing. Get up, go to work. There's no fanfare about it. You don't like it. You don't enjoy it. You like it better on Friday than Monday for some reason, right? Whatever that's about. Weekends, everybody lives for the weekend. People say to me about, aren't you glad for the weekend? I say, no, I work harder. It ramps up for me at the weekend, you know. My life's a little bit opposite from yours, you know. Somebody says, I need you to do something. I say, well, I'll see you on Monday. You know, well, no, I need you to do it on Saturday, you know, that type of thing. And I'm going fishing during the week when you all are at work, amen, not Saturday when everybody's out there, amen. Got a little flexibility on that, right? So, you know, but the weekend for a preacher is a little bit different, you know. This ain't the weekend, by the way. This is Sunday, the first day of the week. Amen? That's why everybody says, well, this puts the weekend in there, you know. But anyway, I guess I see that differently than a lot of people. But he says study. Learn to be quiet. Just like that ant. No fanfare, just getting the job done, right? Get rid of Ann Hill today and watch what happens, right? You thought you got rid of Ann Hill, right? You know, you got to get the good stuff to get rid of the Ann Hill. But, boy, they're going to work, let it rain. You say, man, God gave us that as an illustration, an example. They're just quietly, but they're getting things done, and you see it. They're not bragging about it at all. Then he says, your own business. Now, I said, mind your own business. He says, to do or tend to your own business and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, saying, I've already covered this before. I've already talked to y'all about this. So I'm reminding you again, is what he's saying right there. You know, tend to your own business. Now look, what does that mean? I can't give a helping hand to somebody? No, you can do that. Be helpful. Just don't barge in there telling them how they're doing it all wrong. And, you know, but be helpful, right? But you're still minding your own business and you can be helpful. You can tend to your own business and that type of a thing. But he also says, work with your own hands is the idea of don't be too dependent on others, right? Don't be too dependent on other people and other things that are, you know, that we have to have or need other people all the time, that we can do what we ought to do. Now I'm a little, you know, I heard a guy say the other day, he was a preacher, he said, it's all I've ever done. He was an older preacher, he said, it's all I know to do. You know, well, you know, when I, you know, some guys were talking last night about how my age group's not going to get to retire. There's not going to be any Social Security left. And they were talking about working to 80 and 85. I said, I'm just going to have to go get a job with you guys. Ain't nobody going to be listening to me at 80 years old, you know. I that's just not going to go good. It's probably not. You know, my mind don't work half the time now. So much less then. So I'm just have to go get a job. By the way, is retirement in the Bible? Or, you know, people bring that up. I kind of think retirement is sort of a, I don't know, is that an American thing? Okay, Ron says yes. That's an American thing. He's working these 90, right? No, but anyway, I don't know. Now, the Bible does say, you know, that even that thing about the aunt putting up for later, you might could get retirement out of that. I don't know. Be wise and do what you can. But anyway, that's just a thought as we go along here. But we ought to have a proper regard. Love yourself, love your family, love your society. Do your part, right? And the proper rules for it is just kind of mind your own business. Don't be too dependent on others. I think that's what he's getting to in there in verse 11. Work with your own hands, he's saying. You're not dependent on other people. And again, that was becoming a problem in the church. I'm thinking, I know of a man back home in my home church. He's retired now. Now, he's one of those guys who could do a lot of stuff. That's what I was about to get to. I'm envious of those guys that can fix anything and do anything. You know, I got to keep preaching. But, you know, this guy, he, whenever Hurricane Hugo went through our hometown and tore up so much stuff, he just started doing repairs. Well, guess what? It became his lifelong career. He just never stopped working until he was older and not able to. And he just was doing home repairs. That's how he got started. There was so much work to be done at that time, rebuilding everybody's places. He just went into business. Well, he's retired. He's a good Christian, real meek, humble, quiet, like this text talks about. You know what he does now? He'll get up every morning. He lives in a neighborhood, and there's a little median between the streets. He'll walk down out there, all the way down the street and back. Every day, he'll fill up a trash bag just picking up trash. They put him in the newspaper about it. I mean, you know, he doesn't do it for fanfare. He just wants to be busy. He wants to be productive. He wants to be a servant. He wants to be a blessing. But his grandson was telling me here a while back, he said, you know, when my granddaddy goes down that road like that, he said, sometimes people will see him coming and they'll throw trash on the ground knowing he'll pick it up. And he was like, he said, I don't think I would pick it up. I don't think I could do that. But he does. He's just a servant. He's just quiet. He wasn't looking to get put in the newspaper. It's just something he does, right? He wants to be busy. He wants to stay busy. And the fact that he can fill up a trash bag every single day is, that's a little shocking in itself right there, right? He's just keeping his community up. I think that's a good thing. But he's just quiet about it. No fanfare. No self-glory. It's for the glory of God, right? So I think verse 11 is the rules there. Just stay steady. Just keep doing it. Just things will get done as you stay steady with it. No fanfare, no asking for glory. You do it for the glory of God and all of those kind of things, right? And then number three, let's talk about this quickly. The proper reasons for work, and that's in verse 12. He gives two in verse 12. One, he says that you may walk honestly towards them that are without. The second one is that you may have lack of nothing. All right, that first reason for work is that you will be an honorable witness to the world. You know, those guys that quit work and were out witnessing, but they were also they were sponging off everybody else because they had no other choice. That was not a good testimony, is what Paul's saying. I've told you before, I used to work with a guy that, I was becoming a preacher. I eventually left there to go be a preacher. He said he was a preacher too, and he preached to everybody on the job. Problem was, he wasn't doing his job and making everybody mad because he was so busy preaching, he wasn't doing his part. That's not a good testimony, right? So I think that's what he is referring to there. If the guy won't work, he's just not going to have a good testimony about himself. Honesty is what he said there. Walk honestly toward them that are without, lost people outside of the church, right? He said you need to walk honestly towards them. When you go tell them about Jesus, they need to see that you're a productive member of society yourself. Amen? Whenever the church says, the world says that the church is full of hypocrites, let's not help them out and give them reasons to say it, right? But that would be one. So that's why Paul was dealing with that whole situation right there. So Paul is telling, before I talk to you about the rapture and the coming of the Lord, let's tell you what you need to be doing until then. You need to keep a good testimony. You need to be productive. They're not going to listen to you while you're not doing what you're supposed to do otherwise, right? And then the second part there, he said, that you may have lack of nothing. Well, look, a lost man understands this. I owe, so off to work I go. Right? Why do I have to go to work? There's it. That's it right there. That should be everybody's motto. Saved or not, lost people understand that. In fact, lost people sometimes are more productive, perhaps, than we are. Jesus even said something about that. So sometimes they put more effort and work day and nights, when sometimes the church isn't doing what they ought to be doing to get the gospel out. The comparison Jesus gave there. I heard a preacher who shared something with me the other day. He said another preacher made this comment about early to bed, early to rise, work all day, advertise, advertise, advertise. There's a little rhyme in there if I said it right. And what he was saying was, preacher, work, and just, you know, the advertised part is get your church name out there, get Jesus' name out there, get gospel tracts out there. You get the point? And we just need to stay steady and busy at doing these things, right? Today we use social media and whatever else we can to get the church name out there and the gospel out there. Use all these means that we can. But that is a very practical thing there that we just got to pay the bills and feed the family. So he says there that you may have lack of nothing. You know, everybody, I already said this, God ordained work. But God doesn't give everybody the same work. Just like God doesn't give everybody the same spiritual gifts. God doesn't give everybody the same abilities and skills. You know, somebody who knows all about farming or somebody who knows all about construction and building and all this kind of stuff, some don't know all those things, right? And some things, even though you try to learn them, you just say, I'm not inclined that way, right? God built us all different. Here's the idea. You do what God gave you to do quietly, steadily, calmly, confidently. You just keep doing what God gave you to do because you're going to answer to God. He said, work with your own hands. You're going to answer to God for your own life and work, right? We're all going to stand before God one day and give an account for our works. Now, I know that applies to our salvation and the works that we do as a Christian, but it also, I think, has to do with this too, right? God's given us all this stuff in the Bible. You said, I didn't know that was in the Bible. God teaches us all these things that we need to know, amen? And I'm glad that. For that, our purpose is to work, stay busy, glorify God. Isn't that a great purpose? I gave you this one a while back. Charles Spurgeon made this comment, idle people tempt the devil to tempt them. You know, people talk, idle mind is the devil's workshop. He said, idle people tempt the devil to tempt them. Let us have something to do. Let us keep our minds occupied. Always have something to do. Do you always have something to do? Do you have to go looking for stuff to do? It comes looking for you, doesn't it? There's always something to do, right? Don't you believe that? Sometimes you want to do things and you can't do those things because other things have to be done, right? You know how that is. But this is God's plan for mankind. Why do I have to work? You know, when I was a kid, I used to think, you know, why don't we just, you know, printing all that money, just give all of us a bunch of it, right? I didn't know it. I was a little socialist kid. I didn't realize that, you know, but I learned better, you know, right? Just give everybody a bunch of money and we'll all be happy. Just print off some more, amen, you know. But unfortunately, there's a lot of grown-ups still thinking like that. But that's not scriptural. That's not biblical, right? And as your mama said, it doesn't grow on trees unless you own a peach orchard or something like that, right? You know, unless you own an apple orchard, money doesn't grow on trees. Or you know, what I'm saying there, you have to work for these things. But aren't you glad God gave us a purpose? He's given you something to do. It's unique. It's what you do. It's what you can do. It's where you do it, right? And you do it for the glory of God. You do it for the love of your family. You do what God has called you to do. And you just want to be faithful to that. Whatever God has called us to do. I didn't think I'd preach long on this subject at all. And here we are going over. Because y'all, as he said, touching brotherly love, y'all don't really need that. I need to talk about that. Touching work, y'all don't really need to talk about that a whole lot. So I didn't think I'd preach that long today. You know, my plan was, you know, whenever I got out of the house was to do the one thing I knew, go get a job, go to work. And I worked a lot of jobs back in them days, right? Doing a lot of different things until I finally settled in to something. And my plan finally became, I'm going to get a job in the plant because from what I see, they're steady. Those guys are retiring there. They got retirement. They get insurance. They got better pay. I think that's what I'll do. And I finally landed in that job. And then the Lord started working on me and called me into the ministry. So I left that job, and I wouldn't retire there anyway. They're closed down since those days. All the people that retired from there as I was getting in there, they got the good years, you know, that type of thing. But you know how that goes. But whatever it is God gives you to do or inclines you towards or calls you to do, stay faithful. Stay busy. You're doing it for the glory of God and the good of your family. Why do I have to go to work? Glory of God and good of your family, right? Is there a better motive? And he connected love to this. Amen, right? You do it because you love God. You love yourself. You love your family. You love others. So you just want to do it. So let me just close right here. Are you saved? I hope you're saved. Do you have that purpose in your life? Are you saved? Are you serving? Are you working for Jesus, by the way? We can talk about that today as well. Work for the Lord in the church. Work for the Lord in what he's given you to do in your life. That's, you say, this thing, I hear this thing about the will of God. What is the will of God? It's what God has given you to do. It's what God has put into your lap. It's what God has put into your heart and called you to do. That's the will of God for you. Stay busy with it. Isn't that what he said? Stay, just tend, do your own business. Stay quiet. Just stay steady. Just keep doing it. And then he goes to the rapture. We'll get to that next time. So I was about to say, you just keep doing it till Jesus comes. That's exactly what this chapter says. Live right, first part of the chapter. Work hard, second part of the chapter. Do it all till Jesus comes, last part of the chapter. Amen? That's the way this chapter works right here. And I hope it'll help us. Let's bow our heads here this morning. Just talking to you today about some things that you know and maybe need to be reminded that they are biblical and scriptural. And when somebody says, why should I go to work? It's got what God gave us to do. It's what God wants us to do. Dear Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for your word today. I thank you, Lord, for how practical it is. I thank you, Lord, for the instruction that is there. Lord, we don't want to separate, should have made this point, Lord, we don't want to separate secular from sacred. God, what you called us, each of us to do in our own workplace, that is sacred because it's your will for us. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us to always have that proper mindset about that. Lord, speak to our hearts. God, is there somebody here today that's not saved, Lord, that they're not doing your will because they're not even saved? Or somebody that needs to just maybe heed something that's in this message today? I pray, Lord, you'd meet those needs, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet today. A little music plays. You might want to come do business with God somehow this morning, okay? I want you to do that. How about you this morning? However God deals with your heart, speaks to your heart. God's given you something to do. Just be faithful at it. Stay with it. Stick to it. Just quietly trust God with it. Thank God for the abilities that he's given to you, the skills that he's given to you, the opportunities that he's given to you, the provision. Thank God for all those things. All of that's scriptural and ways to praise the Lord.
Amen, amen. You can look this way. Thank you for being here. I hope you, if you didn't learn something, maybe at least you learned that the Bible deals with everything, right?